None of you overlapped, so you all get your first pick. Do each of you just want to say what playbook, you know, we're just at, like, just say the name of the playbook. What did you pick?
I picked Harmony.
Me, Lou, picked Time Traveler. Me, Lou, picked Time Traveler.
Me, Shayla, pick Unlikely Hero.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Return to Monkey, but conquer Time Travel. Perfect.
I picked the Unlikely Hero.
I'm so excited for this combo. I actually was fully like, nobody's gonna pick the Time Traveler, and I love to be proven wrong repeatedly by my players.
That was one of my backups.
It was, yeah. I was so, honestly, I did like the, you know, when you try to pressure yourself into making a decision and then that's the decision you make, you know? You like,
yeah, like when you flip a coin and you're hoping for an answer and you go with that one instead of what the coin says.
Yes.
Next, we're going to detail your obligation. So going back to, we'll return to the character sheets in a second. We're going to detail your obligation. So what is your shared obligation in the playset setup document again? The lists is magic school, academic research, community care, resource gathering, office work, spreading news, and then, of course, anything else. So your obligation is, when you aren't on a mission, what do you have to do? What's your mundane life? When you're not going out to a party, you're working in an office job. When you're not saving the world, you're a high school student in Sailor Moon. When you're not fusing with gems in Steven Universe, you're kicking it on the beach, if I remember right. It's been a long time since I watched that show. Any standouts from folks? This is a shared obligation. So this is something that you collectively are obliged to do.
I like resource gathering.
Yes. I was going to say resource gathering / I don't know. I have it in my head that my character may be someone that is not an academic researcher, but might shepherd or help, accompany academic guide researchers into the wild, since we are experienced adventurers, you know? So
yeah,
people that do leave the community we are in to either facilitate research or collect resources is in line with my
vision. I mean, yeah, academic research works extremely well with my character being a novice meteorologist, so That could be the shared obligation. It's certainly my character's passion.
Mm, right. Passion versus obligation is something I want to keep in mind, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like it could be both. That would make my character considerably more content, which is why I immediately went to resource gathering, since that would be not what my character wants to be doing.
Yeah, right.
Rally?
Resource gathering, I think, was the one that rang true for everyone. If it was academic research, that would also make sense in terms of, like, burdensome. I like the idea of the tangible responsibility versus the, like, intangible responsibility. Yeah.
I brought you some firewood versus I came up with an idea.
Or, like, I collected samples versus I wrote a thesis. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck writing a thesis. It sounds like resource gathering would be sort of a nuisance for everybody. So sounds like the one. Now we are going to jump back a little bit. So before moving on to the next question, we are going to assign action ratings. Your playbook starts with two action ratings already assigned. Choose a third action and increase its rating to one. It could be an action in line with your playbook or role, or something more idiosyncratic to your character. So these are like the moves. This is, if you're gonna make a move, you want to think about the flavor of the move. That's what you're gonna roll. So there are 9 moves. There's confess, forgive, perceive, express, defy, empathize, conceal, flow, and analyze. Confess is when you expose your inner world of your thoughts and feelings to another. Forgive is when you show that you care for someone despite a mistake they have made. Perceive is when you see the world as it presents itself without judgment. Express is when you use words with an agenda in mind. Defy is when you muster your courage and face opposition head on. Empathize is you understand a person intuitively and feel their emotions as if they're your own. Conceal is you hide your true intentions and feelings. Flow is you move with grace and adapt to your circumstances. Finally, analyze is you search beyond the surface presentation of the world and discover secrets.
Also, a small thing I think we've missed in detail your obligation. It also says add a detail that's specific to your character.
Oh, yes, please do that. Thank you, Kim.
I think my character is a part of the resource gathering, but is also sort of the one keeping track of the logistics of managing what's needed versus what we have. So
you're on inventory.
Yeah, very much on inventory.
They outwardly, like, my character would be managing more safety-wise outside the community of the group doing the resource collection. I mean, I did choose the time traveler, which indicates, you know, like, they're more maybe mind-based and seeing potential hazards before they happen, which I feel like is implied, but I think outwardly it would just seem like a physical protection, a guard. Like, I was stuck between picking the guardian and the time traveler, but I decided I'm going to pick the time traveler and then just kind of color it a bit in that, like, this person is also has quite the physical presence and can protect people in that way. Does that seem all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like the the bodyguard who is, are you imagining you're out on, like, you know, you are doing resource gathering, or are you thinking you're not guarding the resources, you're guarding the people collecting the resources? Did I understand that right?
Yes, that's correct. Correct. Yeah, yeah, guarding the people.
Okay. Cool. Riley?
I went for wayfinding as an additional. So, like, being able to chart out where to go and find ways to reach points that we need to get to. Kind of that, like, logistical side of things.
This is such a well-balanced group. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. I want to go resource gathering with the
we're
people
not
who
supposed to
know
be
what we're
fun.
Supposed to get.
Stop.
Know where we're supposed to go and make sure we're safe. Like, okay.
I mean,
damn, Div's joining this group.
In fairness, like, that's probably why we are part of a group that does this, right? Like, just because it's what we're obliged to doesn't mean we're bad at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm just like, wow, that worked out perfectly. Anyways, yeah. You each assigned a rating, or?
Yes.
I'm stuck, but I think I can do it. Just pick
the, of the nine, okay. Well, the 7 remaining options for in the, like, defy, empathize, express, confess, forgive, perceive, analyze, conceal,
you
flow.
Did it, Rally. Yeah.
I'm going to pick 2, and then I'm going to ask you to pick, you know, a random number between 1 and 2.
Very random. Much opportunity.
Very. Okay. So that's 1. And then the other one is going to be this one. Okay. 1 or 2.
Said between.
You know what? I want 1.
The better answer than I was going to give. I was going to be a little shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 1.5. It's right between the two.
Yeah. Sorry. I want to bark.
I want to bark.
I heard a dog. That's all.
Yeah. Sorry. She's a little noisy.
No. She's been so quiet this whole time. She barked twice too, so she agreed with your number. It's all a sign.
Yeah, there we go. Did we say what our action ratings are?
Yeah, let's start and say what we are good at. Cam, do you want to start?
I came with confess and forgive, and I picked analyze.
I came with confess and analyze, and I picked conceal, which I'm waffling on, but I'm going to stick to it.
What was the other
Rally.
Option?
I don't know anymore. It was perceived. Now I'm like, no, I just don't know. Rally go, please.
Express, confess, flow.
Nice.
I see we have the guilty conscience team. Just kidding. You expose the inner world of your thoughts and feelings to another. Instead of confess.
I think so.
Conceal.
Instead of conceal. I don't know.
Conceal.
I think I should be a little more beefy. Yeah, I'm going to be defy.
So choose special and transcendent abilities. They also have a list of special abilities and a separate list of transcendent abilities that are only available when your character has transcended into their magical form. Each playbook starts with one special ability listed at the top of the page. Choose one additional special ability and one transcendent ability for your character. These abilities often have mechanical effects as well as fictional ones. If an ability mentions an unfamiliar rule or you're not sure exactly how something would work, don't be afraid to ask the group for advice. Someone probably knows.
I will admit I don't entirely understand how character progression works in this game yet, but that's also not relevant right now.
Don't worry. You will learn soon enough.
Mm-hmm. I figured.
So I'll have a chance to perhaps get other special abilities down the road. Is that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay. Then I don't feel so stressed about this. Not that I'm stressed. I'm trying to turn off my min-max brain and just enjoy it, you know?
I picked something for primarily because of the roleplay opportunities and what it motivates me to do.
Motivation is good. Something that helps you motivate to... I'll keep that.
I like it when mechanics and storytelling align, and I think this does that nicely.
How would you explain... Oh, right. So effect level means like how good the outcome is if you are successful. Is that correct? Or
yeah, it's like the strength of the outcome. So yeah, do you want more explanation? Then yes, it is. Yeah. It is how good an outcome
or,
is.
Or could it go negatively well, like if as well, like could it make something worse?
There are three main effects. So the effect is not what makes it worse. That's the position. So every role will have an effect and a position. Effect is limited, standard, and great. Roles are by default standard. Great is like it's going to do more. Limited is it's going to do less. And then in rare occurrences, there will be a no effect. If it's like, I'm going to go punch the world, that's for those roles. It's like, sure, go ahead. The effect is no effect.
Okay, I think yeah, that helped me. Thank you. I have a little question about, maybe not a little question, but the transcendent abilities for Time Traveler are kind of wild.
Yeah.
Do you think one is a little less like... I feel like some are way too fucky. Like I don't know how else to call it, what to call it.
Oh. Like, okay, yeah, let me see.
Can you look at them?
Clocks. Yeah, clock stepper. If ever there is a question of who acts first, it's you once per man. That seems pretty like simple. On the other side of time, when you push yourself, that's wild.
What?
Still quite simple. Uh-huh. Lost cause. That's maybe the most fucky of them. Where you're going to be changing your relations. Like you're basically going to be having different versions of other characters show up.
Like,
which, fair enough.
Hard to keep track of.
You are
of
the time
too,
traveler.
Because you transcend like every.
Yeah.
I want it to
every
be
mission.
More like less of a time traveler. I want to be like more like Amy Adams in Arrival is a time travel. You know, she's not actually traveling through time, but she's perceiving.
You just want to play Arrival.
I just want to be a cute little redhead and I just want to walk around. No, I don't know.
I do think, yeah, the first two are probably the most simple in terms of mechanics. And I think the second one is both simple and quite wrong. Strong.
Oh, strong.
I heard wrong too.
I also heard wrong. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
It's wrong. It's incorrect.
Yeah.
So that's the one you should go with then.
Yeah.
Whatever clears the want, just go with that.
I'll pick the second one. And for reference, it's on the other side of time. When you push yourself, choose one of the following additional benefits. You trade places with your fated person. You briefly remove an ally or foe from the flow of time. Simple.
Is there a fated person on the time travelers shoot us. It's like a unique.
Yeah, I don't know how to decide that, though. I can't find the...
Oh, Feta, do you travel through time to change another protagonist? I see. Oh, okay. It's one of the protagonists, which is either Rally or Cam.
I understand.
So we can get to that at a later point of character creation. There's a good spot for that.
Okay, thanks. I'll keep it in mind.
For now, we're going to... We'll read all of this afterwards, but for now, we're going to create two secondary characters each. Make up two secondary characters that are connected to yours. These could be family members, friends, rivals, or mentors, anyone you can think of that has some connection to your character and seems like they might be interesting to include in the story. If you're stuck for ideas, it could be helpful to think about the questions you've already answered as a group. Your obligations, the mundane world, and even the supernatural adversity you face can all be good sources for secondary characters. It's also a good idea to talk out loud when coming up with secondary characters so everyone has an idea of what sort of characters are already out there. You can spot opportunities to build on each other's contributions. Though they're likely to connect in many ways, secondary characters should not be shared between protagonists. Each player authors two characters. That doesn't mean you can't also have connections to the other characters, or that you can't know each other. The main goal is to have a suitable quantity of characters for the director to draw on.
I have one secondary character I'm trying to formulate, if you'd like to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the a grandparent or a great-grandparent of my character. I guess they have to be alive, eh? So yeah, this person is still alive, just very old, and is one of the... people who lost their language after going through the storm. So it's pretty much a character that lacks the ability to communicate verbally or just communicate. I can't remember if we decided if they could communicate in other ways, but generally is very hard to access communication with, but seems to have a bond with, or you know, seems to have some kind of connection to my character.
I have a question for you about your time traveler that maybe isn't relevant right now, but I is helpful in how I'm conceptualizing things.
Please.
So our characters are childhood friends, right?
Yeah.
When your character came back in time, how to put this?
They don't
are you
have...
an older...
What's the timeline?
Are you the older version come back physically in time? Or has there been like some connection from the future on your present self?
I'm imagining
projected back.
Yes, projected back. So I'm imagining like at some point in childhood or hitting becoming a teenager, like they were visited upon by future visions or were projected into the future for a while, but you know, to other people it was nothing. It was like just, you know, waking up the next day. Like so
as far as we're concerned, one day you got a bit weird.
Yeah.
And like that might not be a problem for us, but like, you know, something happened and we don't really, maybe we know what. Maybe you told us that you suddenly like were visited by memories of the future, whatever. Mm. But
and it's kind of
the main thing is
in my mind, because a lot of these special abilities kind of imply that you can like within a certain situation see. So
the main thing is like, there was a point where it started, which presumably marked a change in your presentation and behavior as far as we were concerned with
our,
you know, mere plebeian linearity of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing I'm trying to kind of conceptualize. There is a continuity of your presence and something about you shifted at one point, as opposed to you were gone and then you came back from the future. That was what I was wanting to understand. Mm-hmm. And I do.
Mm-hmm. We have a very old grandparent.
Yeah, I think I... So how recently did things fall apart? Because you said in the last 5 to 10 years, but like, is that a year ago? Is that 8 years ago?
Well, it's somewhere between 5 to 10 years. I was thinking about 5 years.
5 years. Okay. Is it all right if I declare that, like, whatever side of academia my character was at to learn meteorology was, if not unaffected by the collapse, certainly there was, like, a delay in it getting hit. So in the past couple years has sort of come home because meteorology was no longer viable in the face of the collapse and brought with them a, like, I think a classmate who really had nothing else and so has been kind of brought into this community that my character was from. And it's like, hey, this isn't academia, but it's something you can be doing.
Let me see if I'm following what you're saying. Basically, your field of research had enough going on that when other people were suffering, you were able to bring people into the fold.
No, the opposite.
Okay.
like, my field of academia was, for a time, kind of insulated from a lot of the collapse. It just sort of kept doing its thing, but eventually its ability to continue unaffected dried up. And so in the past, like, 2 years, had to come home in order to have a place to belong and something to do, and brought with them a classmate who was also, like, really into academia. And so this is an outsider from the community that my character is from that my character brought into this community because this person had nowhere else to be and was sort of needed something to be doing and needed a home.
You went to school and brought your schoolmate slash friend back home with you.
Basically, yeah. Like, university, like, graduated, got the degree, and there were no jobs in the field, and was like, well, my hometown needs people who are good with logistics for resource reasons. You're really smart, and this is a thing you can do. And, you know, like, this friend has very little, you know, outside of the world of academia prior to this shift. So, like, school friend, outsider of the community. Someone who is a little bit, like, it's been a couple of years, so probably is decently integrated into the community at this point, but probably is still conceived of by the people of the town as, like, my character's friend. There is this, you know, difficulty in fully integrating.
Two down, four to go.
Should I share?
Yeah, do you have one?
I've got two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so little sibling / informal familial bound grew up close to Anna and acts like family, is impressionable but independent. Sort of that, like, someone that clearly looks up to you, but also is their own person and wants to be their own person and doesn't want to be babied about it. I like the aspect of leaning into the community side of things. So that's one. And then the tsundere rival, the someone that doesn't know how to cope with direct emotional connection, affection, and instead antagonizes because what do I do about these feelings? So yeah, those are starting points more than anything, but they feel fun and they feel very much connected to that experience of locus, where whether that's like neighborhood or that's like small town or whatever, these are archetypes that exist there.
Now, for my own reference, because I will be playing these characters, how little is like little sibling? Are you thinking like you were like an older teen and this person was a child? Are you like only like a couple years apart?
I see it as like they're old enough to not be a baby. Yeah, so they're not like, and this is going to get me canceled by our viewers that are like 5 to 7.
Yes.
No, like 13, around there. Old enough to like be able to go around on their own, but not like to the point where they would be like out of school or whatever.
Got it. So definitely like,
I just want to see if you're going to kill a kid. That's it.
What?
I want to see if you'll kill a kid, Claire. That's what this is all about.
I see. Got it. So basically someone who's like young enough where like, I'm assuming your character is an adult. Maybe, I presume, but basically you could be this person's guardian, but you're like the sibling guardian.
Yeah, yeah. I see it as being like knew them, was old enough when they were a baby to have like been there and be present and already have responsibilities, but
Lou or Cam, do you have one other?
Yeah, I've got one now. It's going to be kind of like my mentor for learning to be a guardian of the resource gatherers, etc. I'm imagining like this is not a chill guy. Like he's very much a representation of our what we call sacred. And for some reason, I thought of this guy from Tarzan.
Oh my god!
Huge, really buff, or not really buff, just like.
Who is this?
I don't even know. I don't even know his name.
The villain from Tarzan.
The villain from Tarzan. The
Sorry,
animated
who?
Tarzan.
Villain. Let's see.
The one that's not a tiger.
Clayton?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Clayton. Evil doer. William Cecil Clayton. Presumably. Yeah.
Huge Cecil vibe.
Like,
I'm imagining
Cecil.
Yeah, like an early 1900s, I guess, or whenever the Tarzan is set. Kind of like conqueror type guy that's like going into places and fucking shit up and hunting things and like has passed on that knowledge to my character of how to be like a successful adventurer and protector and defeater of the wilderness, etc.
Right. And this is a person who is your mentor.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Interesting. I like it. I'm just I'm not gonna ask questions because I'm gonna wait till we're deeper
yes.
and ask questions about
yes.
your character. But
I have a
yes,
I have
I'm
a plan.
So fascinated. I'm fascinated where this is going.
Which leaves me, and I don't have a second one yet. So
okay.
if people have questions they wanna or clarifications they wanna ask or give, now is a good time to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my grandparent character. I know how we talked about in the world building that the people that go through the storm and are given, you know, pretty much at some type of brain altering effect from the storm, which changes how they communicate and unable to communicate in our current spoken language. We said that was pretty rare, like really, really rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So saying that, like, I don't want to lock in that he has to be one of those kind of quote unquote chosen or whatever, in case you want to put that somewhere else in the story. I think the purpose of that character, like, I just want him to be like a foil or something to the other mentor that this character has in their life that is more the current sacred, quote unquote sacred values of the community and world.
Mm-hmm. Even if they can't communicate, they like communicate in other ways.
Yeah. Or just maybe someone that
more
understands the
with
time travel, you know, because I think this character's like doesn't want to be seen as a time traveler or mm-hmm. caught as one, at least currently.
I will say I think the implications are fascinating. Because one of the series rules I wrote is storm touched. In addition to the two secondary characters each person makes, the group collectively creates a character who has been inside the storm that they may each have a connection to. Mm-hmm. This character either cannot or will not reveal what is inside the storm to the protagonist for some reason. And of course, like, this was exactly what we talked about with, like, people who, you know, can no longer communicate in their original tongue and can only speak in this unknown language now or communicate in this unknown language. I actually think it is fascinating if the implication of this is that there are two of these people for the first time.
Maybe. I think I'd be happy to kind of trade that in and get a different character also.
Everyone can also just know your grandpa.
Yes, because it is a small, I was thinking that, it's a small community, right? Also, I could be cousins with somebody, you know, like, I'm imagining a small community uh-huh. where there is a respect for the elders in the community, and well, he could either be respected or kind of shunned a bit, depending on the way he acts, which I haven't really decided on. If you're happy kind of putting those two things together, that's great, or I can make a separate kind of second character if you need more to work with.
I'm good with either. I think my question really is for you, if we were to say you basically get this character for free, assuming the others are cool with somehow maybe having a connection to your grandpa, which y'all are childhood friends. It's not
hard to
believe.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
This basically means you get another character. But then the implication of going the other way is, of course, there are two of these people for the first time, which narratively is also a hook.
I think that's interesting, but for some reason, I don't like it. Like, I don't want to be like too special something, you know? Although, is it more special to be
anyone? No. Follow the gut.
Yeah. I think I just want to have one. So in that case,
there can only be one.
There can only be one.
It is very interesting to think about how you time traveled and why, and that's not something we've established yet. And I kind of love that that's like ambiguous at this point. So there's a level of specialness that like is baked into you.
Right.
But but it's not like necessarily like chosen one stuff or like, you know, right place,
currently
right time, that sort of.
Currently in the refusing the call phase, you know, I'm not about to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That said, I guess everyone, I just make note of Lou's character's grandpa as a connection you can have. You don't have to have it, but if you want, and you can have a connection with any of these, but this one you were like actively encouraged if you can find a way to have a connection with this character.
I mean, super easy for my character to have a connection to the grandfather. If the grandfather has like been through the storm, could easily be a part of where the fascination with meteorology came from at a young age. Right? Like, oh my God, my friend's grandfather like went there and now talks weird and is still like super kind and interesting and like, super easy for me to have a connection there.
Yeah. Lou, if you don't have an answer to this, feel free to pass on answering it. But was there a time in your lives where before your grandfather was had gone into the storm and you a moment where you could understand?
See, that's or has what this I was thinking of. Like, was my character conceived after he was, you know, quote unquote, storm touched? And is that a reason for the time traveling? Like, is it passed down somehow or something? Or did it happen at some point?
I mean, not to get too deep into it. Let me pitch you an idea. What if the storm touch happened at the same moment you became time traveled, right? This was the moment you got weird. They somehow aligned. No further comment. I don't know what it means. It's just, this is the impulse that I'm.
Any thoughts from anyone else? Because both are interesting to me.
I'm content to say it's your character and whatever speaks more to you because they are both interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he can go wrong.
I like it. Him having it like he was storm touched a long, long time ago, but still went on to, you know, form a relationship with my other grandparent, and then they had children, etc. And then
I
was born, and so I'm thinking epigenetics. I'm thinking like, you know, you know how you can have a genetic predisposition, but that something activates it, and then suddenly. You know, I'm thinking midichlorians. I'm thinking, you know,
allergies. I have an allergy to time travel.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have another character then? Because this is the storm touch character. Yeah. You have an actual second character.
No. Short answer: no.
No.
I guess the whole point of these characters is to give you some more narrative
people
depth
I can play
and people you can play.
Yeah.
And so they need to be pretty independent and like able to make choices, etc. Like, are you opposed?
I guess it depends what you mean.
I'm like, I want to have a dog. Like, that's just where I'm leading to, but I don't know if that's more like.
I think that's safe just as a declaration you can make about your character.
Yeah, I think you can just have a dog.
Can I have a dog, please?
You're giving me all sorts of reasons for why my character thinks your character is the best, by the way. Like, you have a super cool grandfather and you have a dog. Like, oh my goodness, my character spent all her time at your place as a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's so fun. I'm thinking like, maybe like a very, I'm imagining this character's very quiet, but how about like a cousin or a sister that's like very outgoing, very, very friendly. Maybe a doorway into this character's inner life or something, you know, another close family member that is
the person who invites you to all the parties, and it's like who you make all your friends through.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite, but like the social one.
Yes, a sister that's a
the
huge
extrovert
gossip.
That adopted you, the introvert.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but your family.
Yeah, but family. Mm-hmm. Sure, let's go with that.
Do you sip, like, is it the you sit beside each other at like family meals sort of vibe?
Yeah. But also really does not like this other character that I've created. This like, or maybe does.
Oh,
I don't
doesn't
know.
Like your character.
Does or doesn't. Does? Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm talking about my other guy who I should name, who I'm just referring to as
not
evil.
Clayton.
Yeah. Evil. evil mentor.
Clayton.
Evil mentor is my current.
Yeah. Please write down not evil Clayton.
Not
or,
evil,
you know, don't write down evil Clayton.
They're both Clayton.
Yeah. They're both Clayton. Riley, can you remind me what your two were? It was younger sibling and what was the other one?
Tsundere rival.
Can you explain to me what that is?
Someone who has affections and emotions, or like some sort of affection towards presumably Riley's character, but is extremely bad at expressing it, and it usually manifests in some level of hostility and confrontation.
Oh, thank you. It's coming back to me now. This is like when Claire tried to explain to me, and then someone was like, oh, it's like vodka. And I was like, I don't know what that is either.
It's also, like, it's not unrelated, but also, nah.
Okay. It's just very funny, because, yeah, we were, Lou just asked, like, what is Tsundere? Because I just used it offhandedly. I without any context, I just said, it's like, you know, baka.
Okay, I do.
That's it. That was the whole answer.
I know what you mean, but that is less helpful.
It was really not helpful at all.
It was very funny, though.
Like, so if you rival. Know okay. what baka means, you probably know what tsundere means.
Yeah.
And the other way
see,
around.
See, this was in the midst of a conversation. I don't remember why I thought this made perfect sense.
Yeah.
But it was...
Okay. Like, it's not
I
exactly
I lost my
circular
shit for like
but...
5 minutes. anyways, yeah. It's just someone who's like the person who's like affectionate but wants to be the cool person.
Wait, I've got it. Okay. My second character may or may not be my sibling, but is like the town musician or jester type person that does a lot of performance but also collects a lot of information as the like not a town crier, but just like, you know, a town musician who maybe puts on puppet shows. Cause I'm imagining like, you know, we are a little more
puppet shows.
While we do have technology, like we are still a little bit more not medieval, but
you have radios, but you don't have a touchscreen cell phone.
Yeah. So maybe entertainment is a little more communal still. I mean, entertainment is always communal, but like in my mind, but like yeah, very yeah, a performer, a town performer who's also very jester-like and outgoing and a bit of a troublemaker.
Okay, excellent.
I finally have a second character.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's my character's older brother who fits the social expectations much better. Like, is not unkind or unloving, isn't a bully because of it, but is very well suited to the societal notion of sacred and doesn't really understand how other people could struggle with that.
Cool. Right.
So it's someone who is, you know, quite privileged and doesn't really understand that.
Y'all are giving me some characters. I'm I'm here for it. Let's start by introducing characters. So once each protagonist has completed the steps listed above, go around the table and have everyone introduce their characters. When it's your turn, describe your character's look, what they do, what kind of person they are, and you can also mention your action ratings and abilities to give a sense of what your character is capable of. Who wants to go first? Who wants to introduce their character first?
I'm still thinking of a name, so Nami.
I guess I'm the furthest along. yeah, so my character is Anna Temperate, true name Sunette. She is soft, cuddly, and solid with an infectious smile. Her red flowing curls bounce in loose buns over glistening olive skin, radiating in the sunlight as she climbs each hill and scouts out the next destination. Her pale tan eyes scan the skies, soaking in the caress of each breeze, heart beating in tempo with the day. She is a sort of carefree, ditzy, but competent community member. And yeah, I thought it'd be fun to play someone who is well-adjusted. Yeah. So that's what we're doing this time.
Okay, I can very much interpret like a very open and like, you know, chin up attitude when you say like the eyes are scanning the skies, like,
Yeah, very happy to be alive. Forward. Very much enjoys the company of her partners. Yeah.
It's funny that you say well adjusted, because when I was thinking about what do I think people will make, this is kind of the direction I thought you would go. Just thinking about, and I won't say more than what you made last time.
Oh, describe it. Describe what it was.
Describe what it was?
Go for it. Yeah.
No, you do
Let
it.
Let the people know. No, I want to get your read on it. Go ahead.
Okay. The worst socially adjusted person in existence.
Yeah.
Someone who's like, what does it mean to be a teammate? I don't know. What's a teammate? They're just tools.
Yeah, someone that was very much a mean lizard, literally.
Literally. So, anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm feel like I predicted correctly. Anyways, who would like to go next?
More myself.
Yes.
I gave myself a name, but I just looked at all the names we have, and they all start with A, so I'm going to change my name.
I kind of love that. Wait.
Wait.
When a theme emerges, lean into it.
I feel like it's going to be a little confusing. And
it's the AAA team. Let's go.
Yeah, because that's what this is, a AAA production.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stick with it.
Is it just happenstance that it's, I won't say it, but that it's very close to your first name?
No, I hadn't even thought of that. Maybe I should change it for that reason, actually.
It might be a little, I usually just say Cam.
It's true. But I mean, I am Camellia. That is, and that is rather close to the name Amelia that I came up with. It's true. Yeah, I'll come up with a different one. That's fine.
Anyways, I'm in the medieval name generator. I'm deep in it now.
Oh, yeah. I have a new name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very different from what I would normally pick, and I think that's fun.
Oh,
and
yeah?
It was prompted entirely by hearing medieval name generator and going, oh, wait, I know a medieval name that doesn't sound like a medieval name.
Is it Tiffany?
It surely is.
Yes. Yes.
Everyone's favorite medieval name.
Yes.
It sure
is. So fun. But like authors can't put it in their like historical fiction because people are like, what the fuck? It's the what is it
Tiffany
called? The Tiffany paradox or something? Like
the Tiffany
like
paradox.
I just remember a really, really good CGP Grey video from several years ago of him trying to track down the first Tiffany.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
It was fascinating.
Does he do it?
I mean, he finds the earliest that he can find, right? Like he goes way further than any person would ever normally go to discover the earliest Tiffany. Because he found like pre-Tiffany's, like people whose names were almost but not quite Tiffany. And then he found Tiffany's, but then there was this big gap in between the recorded instances. He's like, okay, so there's got to be something in there, right?
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, the spelling Tiffany as we know it appears at the beginning of the 17th century.
Wow. When I think of medieval, I don't know why I think it's further back than that, but I guess it's truly not.
I mean, it comes from the name Theophania, which was common in medieval England and France for girls.
Mm.
And apparently, according to Wikipedia, the old French form from 1200-ish was Tiffany, T-I-F-I-N-I-E, which, like, that's Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's spelled differently, and so it's not the first Tiffany as we know it, but there's an old French name from more than 800 years ago that is Tiffany.
If you do need more names, I do have a list of names at the bottom.
Ooh.
There are also names at the bottom of every playset.
Maybe I want a more folksy last name.
What do you folks see?
I want a real ominous true name. Delivered to me in a dream, of course. But what? Okay, I'm on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, always a good start.
Kairos, I'm pronouncing it right, is an ancient Greek word meaning the right or critical moment. In modern Greek, Kairos also means weather or time.
Okay.
Like Kronos.
Yes. So Kairos signifies a good or proper time for action. In this sense, while Kronos is quantitative, Kairos has a qualitative permanent nature.
My God.
That is perfect.
Hello.
Kronos is quantitative or qualitative?
I don't know. Wikipedia is lore.
I love this.
It's written in stone right here.
What does that mean?
I mean, here's the thing. It doesn't even have to be true. It just has
it doesn't
to work
be true.
Here.
It just sounds great. Yeah,
it's great.
No. It's just the sentence Kronos is qualitative.
Wasn't it
is
quantitative?
A sentence. Is it quantitative?
Whatever.
Which one was it? Which way
so
was it?
Kronos is quantitative.
Yeah.
Okay. Kronos is quantitative. All right. Oh, Kairos is qualitative. Got it.
Like the right time, the opportune time instead of the hours,
right,
minutes, days.
Right, the exact time. Yeah,
the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hippocrates' most famous quote about Kairos is, every Kairos is a Kronos, but not every Kronos is a Kairos.
I'm sure that flows better in Greek.
Yeah, oh, sure.
I don't know, it flows pretty good in English.
Okay, we got a name. So I should just think
I finally named
look.
My character.
Yay.
Anyways, let's continue with, if everyone's good, character introductions. We have two more to go.
Mm-hmm. I would like to go last, if that's okay.
Bye.
Ooh, let's have you go then.
Okay. I think I have a little less than our first stellar introduction, but I'll go ahead and say my character's name is Argus Sandsailor. True name. Oh, I literally just looked up the pronunciation. I think it's Kairos. Kairos. The
Those
role.
Are two very different ones. You got to give me one.
Kairos. I think it's Kairos. Yeah.
It's your name. Just choose one.
Kairos. Role is.
Kairos.
Role isn't it something specific? It's just like a descriptor, right?
Yeah, role is like what you were picking from that list. I believe
you
picked.
I picked shy.
So long ago.
Shy. Little schemer, or something.
Shy strategist and experienced adventurer.
Yeah.
Schemer, yeah.
Shy strategist, experienced.
And experienced adventurer.
Adventurer.
Background is childhood friends, just like before.
Right. Background is childhood
I know this is your
friends.
Introduction. I just see you don't have it written in.
Thank you so much. Obligation is resource gathering, specifically being a protector and guardian. And yeah, for look, I've decided Argus is a quiet and shy and protective of others. Kind of a stout build with buzz dark hair. I haven't really decided pronouns, but I'll go with he for now. Like, he doesn't smile often, but when he does, you can see a chipped front tooth, often wearing dusty adventuring clothing and carrying a large backpack with various places to put cargo or, you know, large netting for containing resources. I think as the guardian also carries around, I know we haven't talked about specific technologies, but for something more like rudimentary weapons that are for protective use rather than offensive, things such as like noisemakers, concussive weapons, or a simple sling with rocks. And that's all I got to start.
I was going to ask Rally, what are honest pronouns?
Oh, I was thinking of doing... she, he, they.
Cool.
They are not bound by gender.
How are you doing, Cam?
I'm doing pretty well. Just finishing up, kind of settling on the look, though I can always sort of say what I'm thinking and people can opine. And
oh, right. While you're doing that, I can talk about my dog that I want to have.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Please tell us about your dog.
It's very, very important.
It's going to be just like, I'm looking at a list of livestock guardian dogs because I'm thinking like, this is going to be a dog that is for, it does a job. It is to protect, help protect the team while they're out collecting resources. And they're also big and cute. So I'm thinking either a Great Pyrenees, which is just a big, big white dog with really thick fur. It also depends like what climate we're living in too. So, you know, things to think about. Because then there's Anatolian Shepherds, which have less of a coat. They're kind of a tan color with like a little black on the ears, maybe a little black on the tail. And then this one, just because it's cute, is the Romanian Carpathian Shepherd. Look at this little sweetie.
Oh my goodness.
Look at that sweetie right there. Just imagine like, you know, like a brown, like a brown sheep, not sheepdog, like a brown border collie, but with like way more fur and way buffer, you know? That's kind of what I'm looking at.
Like super fluffy.
Really?
Like almost
fluffy.
Reminds me of like bear fur more than dog
yes.
hair.
Yes.
They look like they'd smell like bread, even though you know they smell like wet dog.
Oh yeah, and... he smells so bad, and probably so does Argus. Like they're
oh my God.
It's kind of like, you know, they're not very approachable.
That's all
person.
Baby.
Yeah, all baby.
Does the dog have a name?
Yeah, what's the dog's name?
Well, if my character's name literally is a dog, it needs to be something opposite just to be funny. Because Argus
human.
Is... Yeah, something like a human name. Like, he could be Odysseus and I could be Argus. That'd be kind of funny.
Oh my God.
Odie for short?
Odie, yes, done.
Odie.
Like Garfield?
I hadn't thought of that at all. That's tragic.
Sorry.
Wait, Odie is from Garfield?
Yeah.
Name of the dog.
It's the dog. Odie the dog.
I had completely...
Yeah, so true.
I was spelling it wow. O-D-Y, and
yeah,
it didn't even occur to me.
Yeah, I was thinking O-D-D-Y. I guess it's Odie, though.
Yeah, Odie works. It's cute.
Do you need more stall time, Cam, or
no,
are you ready?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, then I'll leave the dog conversation on the back burner.
All right, so my character is Tiffany Aramis. She is a novice meteorologist and a hopeful romantic. She is a mousy, but like taller than you think woman. Like the kind of person who you think is like, oh yeah, like she's a bit tall. She's like 5'6", 5'7", and then she stands up perfectly straight and you go, oh shit, she's nearly 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone forgets that like all the time that she's tall because she's always hunched over reading something, working on something, just kind of curled up in a corner. She's just pretty much never standing up straight. And she's just sort of, tends to not disappear into the background necessarily, but is pretty clearly always thinking about or working on something, you know, very, very practically attired for whatever she's doing, whether that's resource gathering or, you know, being in a lab when she was back at school or, you know, one day maybe chasing a storm. Yeah, and this is, I think, significant. The special ability I took is worth saving. So I just want y'all to know that my whole thing is when I run foolishly into danger and no one comes to help me, I get experience. But also, you get a bonus die when you're rolling to protect me from consequences.
Wow.
So if you don't help me, I get better faster. If you do help me, you're better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, is
that
broken?
Works really
I love
well.
It.
Yeah, the two characters we've described, that sounds like it's perfect for them. And that you're
never
going
to
level.
You both seem so inclined to care and help and protect. Mm-hmm. And so Tiffany just goes off on her own in her own world and does her own things. Also, because I'm playing an unlikely hero, what that means for anyone who doesn't know, I can't transcend.
Yep.
I don't have a transcendent form. I don't have access to transcendent abilities or armor or anything special. So as such, I actually haven't even bothered with the true name right now because that's not going to be immediately relevant. And I like, you know, like the not knowing of it implies a degree to which the true self is not even necessarily known.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a transcendent ability. I cannot transcend. Like, the condition for my first transcendence is when only I can save one of my friends from fatal harm or severe consequences, and I then succeed, I then get the ability to transcend.
Oh my god.
So, like, we're talking fatal. Middle of Act 2 is when I start transcending.
Oh my god.
And even fatal at that
is
point,
like, you're gonna die.
Yeah, or severe consequence. Succeed.
Or severe consequence. Fair enough, yeah.
But, like, I have to step in and save someone from something truly awful. And when that happens, I gain the ability to transcend, but only when an ally suffers consequences from an action. Like, I even then, I'm limited in how I transcend.
So what you're saying is you really want me to throw the worst of the worst at you.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to throw myself at it with reckless abandon.
These kinks are getting out of control.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. So that's Tiffany in a nutshell. Anything else that I should share about her? Oh, yeah. She, her.
We already shared our abilities. I say R as if I have a character.
I don't think I've gone over my abilities
yet. But no.
Yet.
Yeah, does anyone want to read their abilities?
Yeah. Yes, anyways, my character is the Time Traveler playbook. My primary special ability is Fated. You traveled through time to change another protagonist's fate. What perilous fate are you here to prevent? Whose fate is it? I have not chosen, but anyways, that's that. And then secondly,
I think we're about to in the next
step.
Yeah,
perfect. And secondly, I chose Dark Omen. When you use your impossible knowledge to persuade someone, gain plus one effect level. If a fate you warned of comes to pass, mark XP. And this is me just trying to farm XP. Not really, though.
I love min-maxing.
Yeah, I can't stop
The joy
myself.
Of worth saving is that I can get a lot of experience, potentially, if I actually risk my life actively all the time.
Yeah.
To the point where people don't help me. Amazing.
But you've got two people that will help you. So
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess for completeness, Rally, do you want to read your moves?
Yeah, sure. I am playing Harmony, and the moves I chose were synchronized. When you are involved in a group action, you may count multiple sixes from different rolls as a critical success.
Oh my god.
When leading, you take at most one stress regarding the number
of
failed rolls during your group action. And then
that's a really good move.
And then for transcendent abilities, as one, when you lead a group action or receive an assist while transcended, you briefly incorporate others into your harmony. You may roll the highest action rating among all participants instead of your own action rating. Teamwork.
Really a team player. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you are the harmony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read your base ability?
Oh, my base ability? Oh, well, let me just scroll up and read it. You are a relationship. Two people whose love has bound them into a single form and identity. Should you ever be separated, all actions you make are desperate. Until you're reunited, you roll plus 1d to gather info about relationships.
Interesting to think what that means in this world. I will let you be the one to tell me.